Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Wherever you are listening or watching the show, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guests this time around are the excellent Night Thieves. I sat down with Night Thieves a couple of weeks ago to chat all about their brand new EP, Plurality. It is out on the 19th of January. It is absolutely fantastic. And it's the first time in a long time I've done a full band interview. I sat down with all four members of the band. So it's a little bit chaotic in places, but I do try and keep them all in order, keep them all in line. This is a really, really great conversation. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it and to watch it. I want to do a massive thank you for all the love and support in January 2024 so far. We've had a fantastic month so far, and we've got some fantastic episodes upcoming. We've got new guests, we've got old guests coming back, and we are really, really excited for the future of the podcast. If you want to help support this podcast, you can by going over to social media, Facebook, Instagram, Nevermind Polly Podcast, sharing our stuff, liking our pages, all of that good stuff all really, really helps. But until then, check out my conversation with Night Thieves on the Nevermind Polly Podcast. See you in a bit. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world, and it's my absolute pleasure to bring you this episode this week, and I'm sat down with the excellent Night Thieves. How are we all doing? How's everything? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Thanks.
Standard right. Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome stuff. So, we are here today to chat about your brand new EP called Plurality, and I hope I've said that correctly. My first kind of question I want to ask, because we're recording this ahead of time, is what is the mood like in camp right now? How are you all feeling, respectively, ahead of this release?
Quite excited, actually. Yeah, it's kind of been building up, like, for us for the past, like, 5 months or so. And, you know, we just released kind of Collide last year around, I think it's October time at that point, end of October, so it's all kind of coming through. And then I think we've got we're going to kind of release Through the Looking Glass is going to be another single that we've got coming up in Jan, I think next week, and then so once Plurality, the EP, comes out, it's kind of like the shebang, so to speak, isn't it? So yeah.
Absolutely, and I've been lucky enough to hear it, and it's fantastic. Generally, I get sent a lot of stuff, and as I say, I'm very chock-a-block in January. But when this came through, and I'll be honest, it kind of, because it got sent it in December, it kind of slipped into my inbox, and I sort of was like, oh, and I sort of was like double checking everything that's coming out in January. I was like, I've not missed anything, and I was like, Night Thieves, why have I not come across this? Clicked it, I was like, right, okay, like, Gary, we need to get this sorted immediately. So, yeah, it's really, really great. Does anyone else want to add anything in terms of your thoughts and things?
I think it's just really exciting for us because we're, yeah, getting back into the groove. And honestly, we're just excited about the new material. I think it's kind of a step up for us from the last stuff, and we just want to get out there and play it live. Which is going to be really exciting. It's one of those where we've been practicing it, and like, we kind of played a gig at the end of last year with the old set, and I think we're going to start getting the new songs into the set now, and it's really exciting.
Absolutely. It's something that I can kind of liken to, if you like, with doing this podcast, because I'll have this conversation now. I'm quite lucky this is going to go out, obviously, when the EP goes, which is only in a couple of weeks. But sometimes I record stuff like in December that's not going out until the end of January. And I've got to kind of sit on it, and I'm like, this is great, I just want to release it to the world. And then it's out there, and I'm like, I then get the feedback, and they go, oh, that's really good. I'm like, I forgot that I'd done that, because I've done like another like 15 episodes after that, if you see what I mean. So it must be kind of nice to finally kind of birth it into the world, and hopefully, with all intentions, it makes a splash, so to speak.
The waiting is the hardest bit. Like, once you record something and then you have to sit and wait for it to be released, you're sat there going, oh, come on, we want to get it out there. Yeah, it's worth the wait in the end.
Yeah, we had this done in May, so we've been sat on it for a while, and the songs as well, we've had for quite a while. I mean, Collide was written, you know, nearly 2 years ago. So yeah, it's been a bit of a long road. So yeah, we can't wait to get it out. Has some awesome reviews coming in the last week. So yeah, it's looking good.
Absolutely. I was having a little look on social media and I've seen the reviews on that. They're all fantastic. It's one thing I try to stay away from a little bit because people review albums and music better than I do. Basically, if I like it, I'll just gush about it and tell everyone I know and go, it's fucking great, you need to listen to it, which doesn't really help when in terms of trying to describe a sound or something. So, but yeah, it is genuinely fantastic. I wanted to kind of ask, how did you guys start as Night Thieves as a band? Because as I understand it, it had the three core members of Jess, Paul and Rick, and then obviously Ryan, you came in a little bit later. I wanted to kind of get a feel for the band and how you guys kind of came to be.
Yeah, so Rick and I have played in quite a few bands together beforehand, and the band we were in before Night Thieves, Werewolves, our guitarist Alexi, he moved away. Actually, he went and relocated into Germany.
Okay.
So rather than sort of carrying on that band, which was very much a bit more of a hard rock kind of sound, we thought let's start afresh to a new project. Really, maybe we'll experiment with our sound a little bit more in terms of in the rock genre still. So yeah, so we looked for someone who also was going to be interested in that and maybe focusing also a little bit more on the songwriting side as that next project. And we connected with Paul when we met. Like, he had some great sort of material already in arrangements, and I think we all sort of gelled together, and it sort of grew from there, really. So yeah, that's how we started. Hey guys.
Yeah, it was yeah, it's just quite lucky that these guys are looking for a new project and, you know, new guitarists, like Jess said, and I just happened to be looking for a band and had a load of material written, and yeah, just gelled together really quickly. So yeah, it's been good.
It worked quite well because I think we were looking for a new sound, and kind of Paul came in with this kind of downtuned, heavy new material, and we were like, ah, that's kind of where we want to go as well. Like, We wanted to kind of go lower, but also go really catchy, and it kind of all worked, to be honest, and came together. And then, yeah, we recently Ryan's come in and been absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. How do you fit into the fold, Ryan?
Well, I hit stuff quite loudly. I think that's about it, really. No, I'm kidding. So I came in when all the work was done, you know, so... I heard the material, I heard the music, and I thought, I have to be in this band. I've never heard anything like it before. It's fantastic when you can find a band which you can't put your finger on fully, like what genre it kind of falls into.
Yeah.
And so from there, it I had to be part of it. And I tried very, very hard with the songs in when I actually met the guys for the first time. And I think now I'm finally, because I only joined back in July last year. Mm-hmm. So I've learned all the material. I'm very comfortable with the new stuff, and I can't wait to play it live in front of everyone. It's going to be absolutely mad. And Night Thieves from there on are just going to completely step out into their own this year and next coming year, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I kind of wanted to touch on the kind of the live aspect of the band as well, because it is a band's bread and butter. And I feel like that is why a lot of artists and musicians get into playing music and things, because they want to go out and play shows and things like that. So I wanted to ask, what is kind of like the mood like for you individually, sort of 30 minutes before set? Because some bands, they kind of all come together and they like have like a shot of Red Bull or whatever, and be like, right, we're going to go. Some people kind of go a bit more introverted and like, right, I'm just going to give me 5 minutes, give me some space. I want to like just practice my bits and just make sure I get in the right headspace. How does it kind of work for you guys as a band?
I'm probably the more disorganized, like frenzy before going into everything, before the sound check and everything and stuff. And then yeah. So for me, I'm very much sort of, yeah, I'm just sort of like into the moment there and then. And then I think we've a couple of times we've sort of open shows, I guess. So I'm kind of one of those spontaneous people that just goes into it. If we have a little bit of time later, I sort of I guess I get myself into the headspace, but then I'm kind of trying to also enjoy the other bands that are on at the same time. But that's what I'm like. I'm probably the more gitsy one out
for sure.
With the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I found it's a bit manic before gigs. Like there's like you've set up everything. Like you're trying to catch up with some friends or trying to watch the other bands. And I find that before you know it, like it's your time to go on, and you're like, oh right, okay. And it's yeah, I think we're more we don't really get together and have like a huddle or anything. I think we just kind of we kind of know what we're doing and all have our little things to do before gigs. It seems to go really quickly, like before gigs, like suddenly you're on and you're like, oh, right, okay, I'm playing a song.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes we try to sort of catch in a cheeky burger beforehand sometimes. that's pretty much it, but yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, we're pretty chilled, really. I mean, you know, sometimes can feel the nerves a little bit just as we're about to go on, but, you know, it doesn't last. But beforehand, it would just be, yeah, like Rich said, just catching up with people, maybe, you know, grab a beer or something. But we're pretty chilled about it, to be honest. And, you know, like, yeah, we know what we're going to do. It's all, you know, we've rehearsed it a load of times. Things go wrong and it doesn't matter. We can, you know, you just, you know, when you've sort of been playing for so long, you just sort of deal with it. No, we're pretty relaxed, I think, so.
Nice. And Ryan, you're going to tell me that you forget your sticks, you forget your drum head, you forget every like. You sat very, very quietly in the corner there.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's never happened to me. I've never forgotten anything, touch wood. I tend to visualize the set, what I'm going to play, what I've messed up before, what I'm not going to mess up again. And just basically take it as it comes, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all you can do, I think. As long as you know that you've put in the work, you can confidently go on stage and just give it your all. And if anything goes wrong, it goes wrong. You know, in that moment, there's nothing you can really do.
I think the thing as well is you can kind of, if you do make a cock up, if you style it out, it's fine. That's the thing, is if you don't style it out and you're just sort of like, oh shit, I've snapped a guitar string or I've dropped a stick. It's like, it's fine, I'll just like, improvise. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's how you deal with it in the moment. That's what I find, at least, anyway.
Yeah, and if you're worried about that, you don't enjoy it. I think exactly. That's the main thing. Is get, like, we feel prepared enough that we, you know, you're trying to, you're almost on, like, kind of, you're just trying to be in the moment rather than actually focusing on, you know, all the getting everything right. It's actually enjoying it and making sure you put on the best live show you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what people remember. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I wanted to touch on this as well. Is where does your kind of your musical journey start for each of you individually? So how did you kind of fall into playing heavy music, into rock and things like that? And is that kind of where you started? Because I think there is certain people within the kind of genre that like to tell people their favorite band was Cannibal Corpse when they were 5 years old. It's just not. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. You listen to Barbie like everybody else. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, I wanted to ask, how did you kind of guys get into heavy music and get into playing your respective instruments?
For me, I was brought up on just a big dose of classic rock, basically. My dad was all, you know, into Who, Sabbath, Hendrix, and then, you know, a lot of stuff from the 80s. So I think it was really seeing bands like, you know, Guns N' Roses and Metallica, like their live shows, and then just running all over the place, you know, and just having the time of their lives, basically. And it's like, right, I want to pick up the drumsticks. And so I wanted to learn drums, but that didn't quite work out because my parents were like, no, that's going to be too loud. You can't have a drum kit in the house. So, I'll give guitar a go and, you know, prove that can be a lot louder than a drum kit. So, it just sort of went from there. And then, you know, just being sort of young at the time, just energy and just hearing, you know, progressing from Metallica and sort of, you know, hearing bands like Machine Head and Korn and Fear Factory and, yeah, just kind of went down a big heavy route and then into more experimental stuff as well, things like, you know, the Prodigy and that. So yeah, that was, in a nutshell, that's sort of my musical journey.
And the thing is as well, is you can definitely always plug a headphone jack into an amp, and that solves all your noise problems completely when you're a young person trying to learn guitar. Mm. It's like, there you go, there's headphones, there's it, knock yourself out, you're fine.
Yeah, I used to hate wearing headphones and a guitar, and it never used to sound good, but like, but now I mainly wear headphones because like plugins are so good, so yeah. I don't annoy anyone at home anymore like I used to when I was, you know, an obnoxious little teenager.
For sure. How about you, Rick? We'll go to you next.
I think I got into it really. So I used to I played cello and things when I was younger. So I had like playing instruments at the time. But I think broke for me. I think my dad brought home like a really cheap bass and a small amp, and basically I nicked it one day never gave it back. And I kind of got into I think my first heavy stuff that really clicked with me was the Chillies and Incubus, mm-hmm. where like, it could be complex but still really heavy and like really cool. And then when I went to uni, I kind of played in like ended up playing everything because there were no bassists, so I ended up playing in like a big band as well. Like, so I did some jazz stuff, but then I was playing some heavy rock stuff, and then just weird things like whatever. And it really helped just bring me along musically. And then I think I've just found that I've just enjoyed more and more heavy stuff, like mm-hmm. recently, or more recently, the last couple of years, getting into like Periphery mm-hmm. and like Animals as Leaders, and just like really enjoying that technical aspect. I mean, I can't play any of it, but just actually enjoying the fact that it's like that kind of technicality, but also really enjoyably melodic at the same time. So I think that's where I seem to just get heavier. Seem to think, oh, I'll never get into that heavy stuff. And then I like listened to Lorna Shore the other day, and I was like, yeah, I thought I'd never like this kind of stuff. And then I listen to it and go, actually, no, I can listen to this. It's pretty awesome. So I seem to keep getting heavier and heavier.
See, I turned 30 last year, and I've gone the complete opposite the way. Like, I still love the heavy stuff, but like I've now gone, right, okay, like, ah, Madonna's pretty good. Michael Jackson's pretty good. Like all this stuff that I ignored as a teenager because I just solely went down the Metallica route. And like, if I want Metallica, I just get heavier and heavier than that. And now I'm like, huh, like pop music can be fucking great too. Like, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like opening and kind of that more the classic rock route as well, of being like, oh, just because it's not screaming vocals and like really thrashy guitarists, it's still fucking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? And now my dad's like, see, I told you, son, Rush are good. And I'm like, yeah, Rush are fine. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is funny that you kind of mentioned Lorna Shore, because that's my other half, my partner's favorite band ever. And yeah, it's very, very impressive what he does with his vocals. But for me, it's a bit like, okay, yeah, good. Like, it's very impressive all the same.
There's a shock factor. And then actually listening to like each individual instrument is absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I think I break it down in that way sometimes, listen to it and go, well, it just does sound incredible. To like make that sound with it's just incredible. So I love it. But yeah, it is hard to listen to for long periods of time. I'll give it that.
Absolutely. My other half, love her as I do. She's just a bit of a freak like that. She'll just listen to it like 8 hours and repeat if she had it her way. But there we go. Ryan, how about you? How did you get into bashing things, as you put it?
So... as I remember it, because it was such a long time ago, I went to church one time, but there was like a live band on playing some worship gospel, and I was just fixated on the drummer, mm-hmm. and I thought the sound that was just, obviously I was in a big church hall, those kits, they just ring out, and it's just, I love that. So that's how I got into playing drums, as started learning how to play in a church, and then just you know, as a kid you hear things on TV. At the time I had Sky, and Sky had Kerrang, and I heard Puddle of Mud and all those kind of bands at that time, Limp Bizkit. I thought, oh, this is awesome. So I started playing gospel funk because that's just kind of what I kind of grew into, but then started from the complete opposite end, kind of like Rick, and then I progressed into more heavier stuff, so my palate refined into that kind of genre and stuff, and I started enjoying music more and more heavier as time went on, and that's just how my music taste has progressed. But I still love playing like funk, because it's nice to stay in a pocket when it comes to that sort of thing, accenting and just feeling the music in so many different other senses rather than just hitting things as loud as physically possible. So that's just me, really, I think.
I love that. Jess, going on to you, when was your kind of earliest musical memories in terms of singing? How did your voice progress? Where did you kind of come from in that respect?
So I started with piano, actually, to be honest, when I was like when I was a kid. So I have to say, I wasn't terribly interested though in the classical so much. I wish I was like doing jazz at the time. I managed to do a bit of blues and stuff like that. And then I started, you know, doing improvising and things like that. And it sort of got me into a bit more. I then kind of went into the journey of composition side then. And I kind of then started a little bit of the songwriting through that way. And then when I was kind of learning some guitar as well while I was at school. And so that's when I started kind of the whole singer-songwriting kind of revel. And I was quite mellow at that time. So I was kind of, I guess, influenced, you know, I was still quite poppy, a bit alternative sort of stuff. So really mellow voice, actually, or very kind of soulful voice. But I sort of moved from there to kind of alt-y rock and then a bit of funk pop rock. So, and I still did kind of quite a variety for a while in previous bands and function bands and stuff. So I've always liked quite a big range. I think I was like Rick as well when I was kind of started going into the rocky bit. It was kind of like Red Hot Chilies, and then I guess a bit more prominent with like Royal Blood and Biffy and bands like that. And then from there, sort of listened to a little bit more, and then my voice got a little bit more, I guess, tried to get a little bit more rocky as I went into these kind of alt rock to rock pop. And then I think probably our last band is where I was even more heavier, doing a little, attempting a few screams really badly, and then now doing Night Thieves. But all along I've been listening to kind of Deftones and all those kind of bands, and knowing like System of the Down and stuff like that, and you know, Architects and so forth. So it's all kind of, I guess, evolved, but it's always been there in the background as a listener.
Absolutely. And that kind of gives it a quite a nice overview of kind of how you, where you guys will come from and what you're kind of like into now. So my next kind of natural progression question is, what is it like trying to pick a set list in terms of when you're driving in the van? So I don't know, you've got to go 3 hours to a venue, right? Who's putting the playlist on, and what does the playlist consist of? Do you guys argue about what's going on in terms of playing in the van, or what's going on in terms of the playlisting?
We all sort of really like the same music, which is fantastic.
There you go. Love a job. Nice. So,
like, it doesn't matter who puts on what. Like, we all go, yes. Or nice. Incubus or something like that, for example. Like, it's never a dull moment as well. Like, I think one of us is always putting on something that one of us hasn't heard or something like that. Or, yeah, there's never anything that neither of us like, really, to be honest, from what I can tell.
Rick's a bit of a weird one because he's not big on playlists as probably the he's very much an
album. Yeah. Oh, he owns all his music, doesn't he?
On Journeys, it's like his albums are great, but you know, let's have a bit of a mix on. I mean, going back to Lorna Shore, I mean, we're driving back at 1 o'clock in the morning from Sheffield. It was Lorna Shore on, and I hadn't heard him before, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know, I'd had a few JDs and Cokes by that time, so I didn't sort of care too much. But yeah, in general, I mean, there's not too much, you know, we don't like, really. I mean, I threatened to put Def Leppard on a few times, and Thurman said no, and then got him to put Bryan Adams on. So it's just like, what?
Some double standards going there from Rick there.
Paul told me off last time because I'm a real stickler for, I love to listen to albums from front to back.
For sure.
It's one thing I do. And so I have no real playlists on my phone. So when we were driving back from the recordings, I think it was, and like Paul was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, and like mixed up loads of songs and put on a playlist. And I was like, oh, okay, this is probably a better way of doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I'll be honest, whenever I'm doing a long trip, I'm with you, Rick. I want to put on just, I either put on a particular album or I put on a particular artist on. So I decide what mood I'm in. But the only problem with that is because I have an iPhone, and iPhones are fantastic for the most part. Siri, when it's going to go off a minute. No, it's all right. I've got away with it. That thing is fucking awful when you try and tell it to play something whilst you're driving. So I'll go play, I don't know, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it goes like, playing the Red Hot Spanners, and I'm like, that's not what I fucking said. That's literally not. And I try and do it, and then because my other half, who's usually on her phone or whatever, she's got a Samsung, she can't like work an iPhone to save her life, and she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm driving down the motorway and I'm just going, for fuck's sake, just, and I'm like, right, fuck it, just play podcast, let it just play a podcast, it'll be fine. Like, so normally I get quite frustrated, but it does mean I listen to like a lot of the same band a lot of the time when I'm driving, which is normally pretty good a lot of the time. So
like pin down an artist to a certain point. So for instance, like I for no reason whatsoever, I associate the last recording sessions we had with Born of Osiris, because I was really at the time. And I think on the way there, I was driving down, and I just put on, I think it was The Simulation, and listened to that like through twice, I think, on the way. So it's not influenced our recordings at all, but I associate that like kind of period with that band. And I quite like doing that sometimes, where you can remember a band, remember a, like a point in time just by listening to like one album.
I have exactly the same thing. So the first time I went to a festival, went to Downlift Festival 2016, and my friend Johnny, bless my friend Johnny, picked me up, and he's got this shitty beat up van, right? And he's only got like just a CD player. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I said, do you want to bring any CDs? Because I know you've not got a proper thing. He said, no, I got some CDs. He brought two CDs. He brought a Voltbeat album and a Raw Blood album, right? Neither of those albums are really bad, in my opinion. But I know every time I listen to either of those bands, I'm like, down in 2016. And then I have flashbacks about the rain and the mud, and I go into PTSD mode, and it's a whole thing. And now I can't listen to either of those bands without crying. But
it's soundtrack of your life.
Literally, it's a real thing. I wanted to touch on as well, because you guys have had some real good media attention as well from likes of Radio 1, ERB, magazine Total Rock and things like that. Do you guys have any advice for kind of young up-and-coming artists and people who want to get into the industry? Because, of course, bands are nothing without fans, but obviously you guys have been very lucky as well with the media attention. Any kind of tips and tricks and kind of any advice, really, for anyone listening who's in a band or wanting to get into this kind of industry and things?
Listen to people's feedback and advice, but also don't listen to it. don't let people say you can't do something or you're not. That's the main thing, I think. Don't let anyone say you can't do something. Just try and, you know, just go for it, you know, and do it for yourself, and you can sort of prove people wrong in your actions, you know, when you've got a result. So just keep going. Just don't, you know, let anything make you want to give up or anything like that. So, you know, I think that's the main thing. And just aim for a high standard as well, I think. You know, there's tons of bands around, but, you know, you want to try and match the standard of the massive artists out there. So, you know, give yourself a high bar as well. I think that's what I do anyway.
Absolutely. I always say as well, people say to me, oh, I'm not going to watch the support act. And I'm like, why? Like, if you can logistically get to a venue for the support act, why would you not? Because all the big acts you're going to see headlining were a support act at one point, and your new favourite band might be, you know, a support act. So, yeah, that's kind of my two cents worth. Anyone else got any kind of advice and things?
Always going with a positive attitude. Like, yeah, as you say, when you go to gigs, like, just making sure you see the support act, chat to them, like, everyone's so nice when you go to gigs, or even just people coming up and saying, hey, you did a great set. It's, if you're doing it to someone else, it can sometimes make their day.
Yeah.
It's listen out for other bands and interact with people, because like on social media, people get in touch and say, hey, love your stuff. And it's honestly just nice to chat to them, honestly, sometimes. And they, you know, you get a good kick out of talking to people who like the same music as you and really interested in what you do. At the end of the day, it's awesome, like we're doing now, talking about our music and talking about the band, because it's what we love to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody else want anything? Or
probably building on the similar points there as well, is engaging with other local bands or similar bands as well. You can also learn quite a lot from other bands who are gigging around at a local scene, and sort of chatting with them and networking. That's sometimes quite good. We've been in touch and been engaging with some really great bands, and you can also, like, a lot of the time we've also learned off of each other of things to kind of help also with the direction and sort of what to do when you're thinking about, you know, certain things, like if you're going to create, if you're going to look at a certain kind of coming up with an EP or going to gigs, you can sort of learn what venues to go to, or, you know, where to go to for recording and things like that. That's quite that could really also help learn, build up if you really want to get serious.
Absolutely. Ryan, anything to finally add on that point, or are you all good?
All the points are pretty much touched on just then,
for sure.
Definitely always watch, you know, the other bands, and that they're, at some point you're going to play a gig where the only people there are the other bands. Stay and watch all of them. Don't just play your set and, you know, fuck off somewhere else. Like, you know, stay and watch and support everyone, because, like Jess said, you know, networking is really important as well. And if you just, you know, if you just leave and don't support anyone else, and then you're not going to make any friends that way. So
absolutely. I've got a couple of final questions for you all, right? And one of which is a question I've asked everyone in 2023, and I'll be honest, I was going to bin it off in 2024, but the response I've had in 2024 so far has been fantastic. So I'm not trying to hype you up too much, but I'm holding out hope for you guys, right? So basically, if you go along with the question, it's gonna make sense, right? So when Spotify, Amazon, any big corporate brand buy up this podcast, what I'm gonna do is, rather than reinvest it back in the podcast like a normal human being, I'm gonna blow it all on one big massive festival, right? And you guys are invited, along with all the other bands who've previously been on the show. It's going to be about a week long. It's going to be lovely. But because we've got loads of lovely corporate sponsor money, we're going to have it in the biggest possible field we can get our hands on. Now, what I would like to know is, Night Thieves have got a request for a rider, and you can have anything you want on the rider because we've got unlimited money and unlimited space. What would you like to add? Now, I'll give you a little bit of a contextualization for this, right? We've had everything from, like, saunas to, like, puppies to roller coasters to, like, fucking, we had the artist Beans on Toast just turn up and say, I just want to play. And I said, mate, you've kind of wasted your opportunity. You're already playing. Like, just have whatever you, and he's like, no, I just want to play. I'm like, fair enough. We had Andy from Therapy just say to me, I just want, like, towels, water, and, like, a nice sofa to sit on. I'm like, yeah, fine. So you can either go super modest or you can go super extravagant. We've also had people say to me, like, really weirdly specific things, like, I want a bottle of red wine from South France, like, only brewed like twice a year or whatever, something stupid, like really, really niche and specific. What would you guys like to have?
Ooh. I really want to go to Wayne's World now and just say green M&Ms.
Amazing. That's all about the blue.
M&Ms, got it wrong. Damn, I've got the quote. I would say, for me, it'd be like, I'd go quite modest and I'd just say, like, a selection of really nice craft beers, like, but they'd have to be like the weirdest flavors. I'm like, really, like, if someone offers me, like, you know, chili chocolate and marshmallow stout, or, like, you know,
doesn't sound weird. That sounds pretty good.
I'd have to have, like, a selection of, like, really weird, like, beers that I could enjoy and then tell everyone they should be drinking this.
If we haven't found the hipster already in the band, I think we've found them. There we go. Rick's just outed himself as the hipster of the band. There we go. Craft beers, we can do that. Anybody else, any suggestions, any requests?
I've never been glamping before. Okay. So obviously it's in a open space. Mm-hmm. The best thing you're going to get in terms of accommodation, if you, let's say, don't have a 5-star hotel nearby, is a really, really nice done-up caravan. So that would be pretty damn nice.
I mean, you could have a 5-star hotel if you want it. We can just build it there. Like,
Oh, it's built there. Oh, right.
Well, this is what I mean. That's the whole point. Like, we've got unlimited money because Spotify or Amazon, whoever, I'm not picky, is paying for it. We can just build it there. That's the whole point. Like,
what about a 5-star caravan, Ryan?
A 5-star yeah. caravan would be perfect, you know, something that can just roll away afterwards.
Need to be bigger, because I would quite like the Hard Rock Hotel from Vegas to be built backstage.
Nice.
Because, you know, that has got nice food, big swimming pools, and bring the weather with it as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're gonna figure out how we can do that. Like, bring the weather. I was trying to think of the scientific way of making the weather hotter, but I'm just not gonna be able to do that. So yeah, we're just gonna make it hot for that 1 week for the festival. There we go. Love a job. Jess, anything you want to add?
I'm so boring. As long as I've got Wi-Fi and coffee, I'm good.
You know what, though? That's like, so I don't think we've actually had a request for Wi-Fi. So I had Josh from Cattle Decapitation on, and he said, I just want laundry service. And I'm like, you're going to be everybody's best fucking friend on tour. Like, if it's all you want is just someone to like wash your clothes, I'm like, yeah, you're going to be everyone's best friend. So that makes perfect sense. So we've got Wi-Fi, craft beer, a 5-star caravan, and what was yours, Paul? I've forgotten. Sorry.
I want the Hard Rock Hotel from Las Vegas.
Yeah, so Ryan can just have the 5-star caravan. The rest you can send that in the Hard Rock Hotel from Vegas with the hot weather.
Picking up other fans as well. So.
Sometimes a man just needs a space, and that space can be a 5-star luxury caravan.
Absolutely. I've got one final question for you guys. It's a question I've asked every single artist who's given their time over the last 4 years, and it's a very simple question, but it's personal to each of you individually, and that is, what is the best thing about being in the band for you guys personally?
I get to play with absolutely lovely musicians. It is like it's another family, but you're all the same age, pretty much. Yeah, it's like being, you get to play with some great people. You get to more potentially go to some great places as well. And you get to do what you love and pretty much get paid for it. So it's great, really.
Nice. That's really nice. I like that.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. It's like, it's always lucky and great to when you really get on with your band members as well. I kind of love that collaboration as well. Like, you know, I've done projects on my own and stuff, but I much prefer to like work with people and, you know, again, engaging with people and stuff. So for me, definitely having that band and just producing something, you know, producing something great and creative. I love that.
Nice. Rick or Paul, yeah. Who wants to go next?
I was going to say the same, like, you know, it's awesome to be in a band with like-minded people, but also getting to express yourself, basically writing, you're writing the songs for you or writing the music for you. So I don't think there's anything better than the feeling of coming out with an EP or singles of music that you've written, that you love and on it, like you're proud of, like it's yours, you've done it. And I think the most important thing is you've done it together. Like none of us could do this on our own and create the music that we do by ourselves. It takes all four of us to make music that we do, and nothing, because it's just the four of us, nothing will ever sound like us again, and we're doing something new, which is the most rewarding thing for me.
Absolutely. How about you, Paul, to finish things off?
Just the same, really. I mean, you know, we all get on so well. Like, it's been so nice having having Ryan join. He's been bought exactly sort of what we needed, and you know, nice guy as well, and especially like writing, like Rick said, you know, you work so hard on something, and you know, with some of the ups and downs we had, like Rick, Jess and I, you know, we really sort of stuck together, and we put in a lot of work and ideas and everything, and I think it's all come together, and we're sort of seeing getting feedback and having some reward from what we've done, and it's it's just nice knowing that we've done something good together, you know. So it's been despite ups and downs and stuff, it's been awesome, and we've sort of come through it, and just we're just really love what we're doing.
Lovely job, lovely job. So the new album, the EP even, Plurality, is out on the 19th of January by Night Thieves. Is there anything that you guys need to talk about, anything you need to plug, anything we've forgotten, anything you just want to talk about that's happening in 2024 that we can talk about?
So Through Looking Glass single is out next, is out on Friday the 12th of January, and then the EP is the Friday after. We've got some, we can't announce any gigs yet, but there will be some announcements in the next few weeks. So just keep an eye on socials for that, I think.
Lovely job, lovely job. Thank you so much, guys, for all of your time. It's been a lovely, lovely Sunday morning for me on my first day off of the week. So I hope you guys have a lovely rest of your day. I hope the EP does everything it should because it's fantastic. And hopefully, if you come anywhere near Norwich, I will catch you on the road.
Awesome.
Love the job.
Thanks very much for having us.
No problem at all. Thank you, guys. We'll speak soon. Peace and love.